It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. All the podcasts and recaps of the shows are there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website as well. Big show planned for you today. Happy Friday, Steve.
Oh, yes. Here it is again.
Here it is again. And it is September 11th. 2001 seared in our minds. I can remember exactly when I heard that that we were having attacks on our country.
Yeah, the first report, I was on I-25 right about Logan, sitting in traffic. What else do you do here? But the station I was listening to said there was a report of a plane that had hit one of the towers. And in my mind, I was thinking a Cessna.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. You know, when I got to my destination, flipped on the TV and saw the gaping hole in the building and the massive fire, it's like, okay, that was not a Cessna.
No, it was not a Cessna. I had actually been to Windows on the World at the top of the Trade Center a few years earlier. And I used to go back to New York on a regular basis. And I was just astounded when I saw it. And then I went back to New York in January, you know, shortly thereafter. And you know, the heart of the city, people were rebuilding. I did go to the site, and it's kind of like Gettysburg. It's a sacred place now, Steve.
Yeah. I have talked to so many people who have gone to the museum, the memorial. It's on my list of places to go. I don't really want to go to New York City, but I feel compelled to go see that.
You might wait until they have an election and have a different mayor.
Oh, amen.
You know it. As we look at these issues, my friends, it's coming into, you know, stark clarity here that we're looking at freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, or executive order. How about that one?
Yeah, we know that one well here in this this neck of the woods that we're in, yes.
And speaking of that, this coming Sunday, the 13th, from 1 to 5 p.m., somewhere in the Denver area, there's going to be a 100,000-person march aimed at fighting Governor Polis and his nearly 200 executive orders that he has signed into law since taking office 19 months ago. And the organizers contend there's not an emergency, therefore no reason for churches, schools, and businesses to remain restricted from operating at full capacity with no restrictions. And I know, Steve, you were interested in those who the organizers are on that.
Yes, it's quite an impressive group. Keep Colorado Free and Open, Reopen Colorado, FEC, which stands for?
Let's see, Faith, Education, and Commerce.
Okay, FEC Colorado, Patriots Against Polis, and Walk Away Colorado. Now, when we say, how did you say that it's happening somewhere? We're not being cute. I really think the organizers they saw what happened to the support the police rally mm-hmm. in July. So they're keeping their cards a little bit closer to their chest here. Surely they're going, you know, that information is going to be out there. You just have to go find it.
Right. You have to be watching for that. But yes, certainly they want to keep the Antifa, those activists that now are Black Lives Matter, you know, that are creating all kinds of trouble. And so they want to keep that location a little closer to the chest, and I think is just smart. I know that also that they are going to make sure that there is ample security as well, because it's important that people are safe when they're making a stand against these crazy restrictions that we have. And when we, you know, the report that we had just recently that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus, the death numbers, actual death numbers is quite minute. Now, granted, you know, every life is treasured and valued, but the numbers that they have been trumpeting across our television, scaring the living daylights out of people, it was really kind of more of a manipulation. And, you know, if you're going to manipulate and be untruthful with me over here, I'm not going to go to them as my news source anymore, Steve. Actually, I wasn't going to them very often for my news source, yeah, now that you mention it.
I've been chastised for some of the things that I put on Facebook, but I had access to a cute meme. It showed the Three Stooges standing in their lab coats around a table, and the caption read, "Meanwhile, at the CDC."
Yes, and yet these people, these health departments have been weaponized against everyday people. It's taken their livelihoods. And, you know, we've talked many times on the show, and we'll continue to talk about these deaths of despair. And it's like they don't even look at those, Steve. I can't believe it.
Well, I'm not here to malign the CDC. They've certainly proven their value over the years. But can you imagine what it must be like there now and in the last 6 to 7, 8 months, where somebody else is calling the shots? I can't believe that all these very educated people would do what has been done in terms of their reporting, unless they were being told to do it.
Okay, well, you know, we many times say the Democrat Party of today is not the Democrat Party of your parents or your grandparents. It's not the party of JFK. So to that point, the CDC of today is not actually the CDC of what it used to be. So but you can take a look at media, you can take a look at education, you can take a look at religion, our churches. Many of these institutions have been taken over by radical activists that are elites that think that they can make the decisions for the rest of us. And that is why we do this show, is to help you have more clarity to these issues so that you can engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in our state, in our counties, in our cities, in our country today, because everything is coming into stark clarity. And we certainly have American liberty is at risk right now, Steve.
Well, I'm thinking back 25 years, say go back to the Clinton years, where this world government thing really seemed to pick up some momentum. And we kind of been in this, is it here? Is it real? Or is it not thing for, you know, 20 or so years? Well, now the guessing game is over. It's here.
It is here. But, you know, these things are timeless, though. Every generation has to face these things. And before we get to our quote for today, I just want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. And that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And to each of you listeners, I am so grateful for you. I love hearing from you. And you're treasured, you're valued today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Be the very best you that you can be. Our quote for today is from Adam Smith, Scottish social philosopher and political economist, who is a towering figure in the history of economic thought. He's best known for his book, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations, which was written in 1776. And it was the first comprehensive system of the political economy. He was born in 1723. He died in 1790. He says, no society can surely be flourishing and happy of which the far greater part of the members are poor and miserable. So before we go to break, I do just want to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. Now that we kind of know the football schedule, they have all kinds of game day specials. And something that I think is great, if you want to have people come over, they've got this great party pack. It's available Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to close, and all day Saturday and Sunday. $75 for 50 wings. You get one appetizer, four orders of curly fries, some desserts, and just all kinds of things. And so I would highly recommend go to, Hooters.com for more information. That is Hooters.com. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where you get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our new sounding off with, or our most recent sounding off with Kim Munson podcasts, and our most recent op-eds. And on the line with me is one of my valued partners, and that is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. He is a specialist in the mortgage arena. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
So it is Labor Day week, and I want to talk a little bit about hard work, opportunity. So Lauren Levy, what was your first job?
My first job was as an eighth grader working at the local grocery store near my house.
And so did you work after school on weekends, or what was that like?
Yeah, I worked after school some when sports weren't involved, and on weekends, and had a variety of jobs back in the old days before you could scan items at the grocery store and actually had to ring them in one by one.
Well, and also, didn't they have to have price tags? I mean, I still remember when there was price. Never mind, I'm not going to say that. Lauren Levy, that's going to date me for sure.
No, you're right. We had the plastic gun that you had to go around and put a label on every can on the shelf and before, because there were no scanners.
Yeah, those were the days. My first job, Lauren Levy, was at Daylight Donut and Chicken Inn. And so, I had after-school activities and worked there on weekends and when I didn't have those activities. And I think there's something really, really important about young kids working. I think that work ethic is super important. And, you know, I think everybody should have that first job, at least by the age of 14 myself.
I agree. And until you're trying to lug about 50 carts back into the store in the snow, you haven't really put in any effort.
I hadn't thought about that. Where'd you grow up, Lauren, where you had all that snow?
I'm from just outside of Boston in a big town called Framingham, Mass. And so we had to try to pull in all the carts after people would go to their cars, and either when it was hot in the summer or in the snow in the winter. So that was always fun.
And you probably didn't have the automatic things that they have now, those little carts, huh?
Nothing pushing but you. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love that, Lauren Levy. And Polygon Financial Group, you founded that company, right?
Yep, that's right. It's I started it back in, I think, 2006 or so. It's been going strong. So it's been fun to be an entrepreneur.
You truly are an entrepreneur, Lauren Levy. You're a valued partner of the show. And I think that people, you know, I say when opportunity knocks, you need to answer the door. And there is a real opportunity right now, which I know is keeping you super busy, and that is that mortgage rates are very low right now. And then we have off in the December 1st this thing that HUD may institute a fee on refinancing. And so there is an opportunity right now, and people need to take advantage now because there is a little bit of a backlog in the mortgage industry just because there's so much demand.
That's very true. And that fee you reference is a half point to the pricing, to the fees on the loan. So it can be expensive, you know, on a $200,000 loan, that's an extra $1,000 in fees. And so it is important that people try to get it at least locked in before that fee would come back on December 1st. You just have to have patience. Every lender is overwhelmed right now because it's hard to hire experienced people in the industry quickly without having to train them. We have to train people. And so it's a tough thing for the lenders to deal with, so they just get backed up. And so just have patience as you're going through the process. The loan will eventually close and your rate will be protected. But It's definitely an opportunity for people right now, for sure.
Right. And you work with a lot of different lenders, which I think is really important, because you can, you just have competition and you're on top of that. So, Lauren Levy, opportunity is knocking. Do not procrastinate. If you're considering doing a refinance, get in it early, because we've got often December 1st, which is going to be here before we know it, this potential additional fee. And it doesn't cost my listeners anything, because you will pay for their appraisal. So I think that's what, like worth $500 or $600 right there.
Yeah, typical appraisal is like about $625 right now. And so it doesn't cost anything to apply. And then once we start the loan, if an appraisal is required, we're covering that cost for your listeners as well.
Okay. And people can reach you at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Lauren Levy, you have a great weekend.
You as well, Kim. Thank you so much.
And in studio with me is Karen Levine, a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. We've been friends for a long time. You are an expert in this crazy real estate market that we have going on here in Colorado. Right now, we seem to have still more buyers than sellers, and so that makes for a hot market right now, mm-hmm. Karen Levine.
It is. It's exciting out there. It's busy. Sellers are in a position that if they are trying to capitalize on their equity position, it's a great opportunity for them. And I just warn all parties, greed is never to their benefit. Let's look at what's fair, fair market, and let's negotiate fairly for a win-win type situation.
Get to that win-win situation. And in order to do that, it needs to be reasonable, respectful, good negotiating skills. And that is something, Karen Levine, I mean, I've known you for a long time. You're a great communicator. That's something that is just in your wheelhouse.
I hope so. I try. I want to make sure that everybody understands what their options are, what opportunities there are, and make sure that they've been well informed so they can make good decisions. I'm not in the business of selling them a house. I'm in the business of counseling them to obtain home ownership or an investment property, a second home.
Well, you have a lot of repeat clients as well.
I'm very fortunate in that regard. So I guess that might say I've done a pretty good job in the past.
I think so. Oh, one other thing I got in the mail the other day, my Bronco schedule.
Oh, thank goodness. You know, we're going to cheer them on, I guess, in front of the TV at this
over point.
Over
at Hooters. We'll go over to Hooters and watch the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So do you have more if people want to get that?
Yes. I hate to say it, but it's a highly demanded one of my mailing mm-hmm. items, and I do have extras. So if any of your listeners would like a Broncos schedule, we can pop it in the mail to them.
Just give you a call at 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, it is Labor Day week,
mm-hmm.
and hard work, opportunity, property rights, capitalism, the American idea, those are near and dear to your heart. What was your first job?
Oh, well, my very first job, I believe, was for my father. And he had me doing payroll for his company. He had fast food restaurants, and he put me in front of a typewriter. And
we're dating ourselves. I know what that is.
Yeah. It was quite challenging. And then if you jump ahead and look at my first real estate job, I had a friend reach out and say, you know, you should consider selling real estate. And I'm like, no, yeah. Not really. I don't think so. And she and I chatted, and I went to work for a small home builder in Broomfield, a small business owner, not a national builder, excellent builder. And he really taught me the ropes about construction and new home sales. And I started to build my real estate career there in Broomfield, Colorado.
I love the American idea and entrepreneurs and working, creating wealth. You've been in the business for a long time, and I just find it very inspirational. Your communication skills. You're on the National Realtor Board or something now too, where you're going to Washington D.C. and I think affecting policy to try to protect home ownership, which mm-hmm. is so important, Karen Levine.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I've been appointed or asked to serve for my company, for RE/MAX Alliance. The National Association of Realtors has a position for each of the top 75 brokerages nationwide.
Okay.
And my company is on that list. And so I'm representing them at the National Association of Realtors. And it's really an awesome position as far as what I'm learning. I'm being exposed to the brokerage side of things and not just the agent side. And the work that the National Association of Realtors does for home ownership and private property rights is bar none. I mean, they just, they take it seriously.
It is so important, and it is a way for people to create wealth, to own their own home. So, Karen Levine, thank you so much. People can reach you at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Jason McBride, it's Friday of Labor Day week, and I've loved all these quotes that you have given us this week. What is your quote for today?
Well, the one for today, Kim, comes from a fellow by the name of Douglas Adams. He was an English author, screenwriter, essayist, humorist, satirist. How do you pronounce that?
Steve, do you know?
Satirist, anyway. And a dramatist.
Okay.
But he was the author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
okay,
which, you know, I don't know much about. I saw the movie. I thought it was weird. I guess it's a big thing, and a lot of people have heard of it. But in any case, he said, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing noise they make as they go by." And I thought that was kind of a fun one for Friday, because we've all felt that way. And boy, wouldn't it be nice, you know, to be in a position to maybe be as maybe famous as Douglas Adams when someone said you have a deadline, to just say, yeah, well, that's too bad.
Yeah,
I'll get to it when I get to it.
I can feel the stress with my deadlines. It's like we have all these things that we do each week, and it's on the list of things to do. And, you know, we talked about it earlier this week, though. You have to stay there, and you have to make sure that you get the work done. So,
well, yeah, you do. And, you know, I think psychologically, people tend to operate better when they do have a deadline. Mm-hmm. When you have to get something done, it makes you reach toward that and try to complete it. You know, Kim, I'm a self-starter, but I wouldn't say I'm like a super duper. If I can, you know, if I don't have a deadline, I'm less likely to get started on something and put it off. And I think that's human nature. But you know, there's some people that if they don't have a deadline, they'll never get anything done.
Well, that's true. I'll tell you this: when I was a senior in high school, I was third in my class, so I had good grades. I worked hard, and so I had a 1 hour a day, which it was total. It was like independent study. Like I could come up with. I had to do a paper, and that year, I sat in the student lounge and talked to my friends until I got close to the deadline. And then I was frantically writing, and my subject was the Jews and the Arabs and their role in the Middle East conflict. And I waited until the last minute. I think I probably pulled several all-nighters finally to do that, because I was messing around with my deadline.
Yeah, well, that happens. Well, I was going to tell you a story, but I'll just tell it to you in private.
Okay, I can't wait on that one. So, Jason McBride, we are moving into autumn, and it is very important. There's going to be a lot happening. I think people may want to just take their portfolio temperature. It may make some sense. We're not giving any investment advice, but maybe to take a look at moving some of these things into maybe a little more defense, you know, just because of risk tolerance. And you are the guy to talk to about that.
Well, yeah, and especially if you're getting close to where you're going to need the money for income.
Sure.
You know, now you never want to take big drops, even when you're very young. I don't subscribe to it's okay to take big drops when you're young, because you still have to make those up too. But when you're very close to needing the money, to have to actually start living off the money and drawing on the money, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen. Mathematically, you don't want to take a large loss. And psychologically, believe me, it's about 10 times worse. You're going to panic when you're actually using that money and you see the value start coming down rapidly. Before that, it could be kind of like a video game. But when you're using it, it's very real. That could cause some very poor decisions to be made. So A lot of times as you get closer, and Kim, the market is giving you the perfect chance because it's so high as well. This to me almost feels like a gift. Mm-hmm. It's handing you a gift, giving you a second chance, and maybe to look at doing something like that. So defense is very good. It wins Super Bowls, and I think it wins in the long run with investing too.
So how people can reach you is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, and take a look at our landing page together. That is AIRpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You too, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Larry Reed.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. Be sure to go over to Facebook and give us a like, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Lawrence Reed. He is the President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education, a Humphreys Family Senior Fellow, a Ron Manners Global Ambassador. He has authored nearly 2,000 columns and articles in newspapers and magazines and journals. And you can find him at Lawrence Reed, that's R-E-E-D.com. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Kim.
So this is Labor Day week, and I thought let's focus on the American idea, capitalism, hard work, opportunity, all those things that have made America so great and given us this big middle class. So where do you want to start with those themes, Larry Reed?
Well, Kim, thank you so much for having me. I believe very strongly that America is the productive powerhouse that it's been, in great measure because we've respected property rights. We've allowed people the freedom to be creative, to be entrepreneurs. And we are, by virtue of our background and our history, great wealth creators. Americans aren't the kind of folks who sort of sit back and wait for something to come their way. We're out there producing it, creating it. We love to innovate. And that's why, to a great extent, America's economy has been the most productive on the planet.
You know, Larry, that brings up something. One of my other shows is America's Veteran Stories. I've interviewed over 140 World War II veterans, and I went back to Normandy in 2016 with a group that took four D-Day veterans back for the 72nd D-Day celebration. And there were also some Brits that were there at the same place that we were staying. And they were talking, and interestingly enough, the Americans said that American commanders, you know, that are working directly with the guys, particularly on D-Day, they were making decisions, and that was something kind of inherently American, is the guys would step in and make decisions, whereas the Brits many times would wait for orders from their commanding officers, higher up. And I thought that was just a real interesting comment they made.
Yeah, I think that underscores the fact that we are individualists. We've always been that way. We like to take charge. We like to show our individuality and our creativity in tough situations. And so I guess that doesn't surprise me, although the Brits have had a good measure of that too. But I remember a great example of a people, because of the communism that that was imposed upon them, who didn't have that kind of initiative. Do you remember decades ago, back in the 1980s, when that young German flew a Cessna several hundred miles across Russia and landed his plane in Red Square in Moscow? And when he did, he got out of his plane and walked around and sort of enjoyed himself for a while. Even the security people didn't act because they all thought, well, we have to wait for orders, and this is not in the book. Nobody ever told us what to do if somebody lands a plane in Red Square.
I kind of remember that, but what happened? Did he fly back out, or did they?
No, they eventually apprehended him, but they had to go through several levels of command before before somebody decided to actually take an action. But he had avoided Soviet radar and flew all that way and landed right in the heart of the Soviet capital.
Talk about, I guess that's somewhat creative. I'm not sure that's the best idea in the world, but that it is very, very creative. So throughout this week, Larry, the antithesis of capitalism is socialism. And it's important that people understand that cronyism, big government, is different than capitalism. Unpack that just a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, capitalism means a fair field and no favor. It means respect for property rights. It means the rule of law. It means the government stands ready to protect you against fraud or force or violence, but otherwise leaves you free to compete and to create. When anybody in a capitalist system runs to the government and says, hey, give me a special favor, give me a tariff against my foreign competition, or give me a subsidy, give me something that my competitor doesn't have, or if you don't want to give me something, do something to my competitor so it advantages me in some way. Well, that's not capitalism. That begins to look a lot more like socialism because it requires the concentration of political power in order to for it to happen. So the more you've got a crony system based upon political connections rather than entrepreneurship, the less capitalism you actually have and the more big government and socialistic arrangement you really have.
Well, and Larry Reed, where this is hidden, so I served for 4 years, 2012 to 2016, on city council of my, where I live. And so one of the things that I first saw was the term economic development. Economic development sounded great to me. But what I soon learned was it was politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties working together to award certain favors to one business and not another. And so this is hiding behind the words economic development. We see that happen a lot, is the words are nice, but the actual what is happening is not freedom, liberty, American idea, the American idea or capitalism. It's something else.
That's right. So often what passes for economic development is nothing more than government picking winners and losers and advantaging those with political connections or who are for one reason or another favored by those in power against other people who don't have such advantages. I remember in Michigan, when I lived there for some 30 years, there were many examples of where government would give special favors to bring a business in. And then at our operation, our think tank, we would hear from people saying, did you hear about my tax dollars going now to bring this out-of-state company in, the politicians cutting ribbons to take credit for some new operation? And yet here I am paying taxes, mm-hmm. training my own employees, and my tax money is going to advantage my competitor.
There is something inherently unfair about that. So with that, it brings up This is something that I agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on, and that was that Amazon should not receive economic development dollars to go to New York. We saw it out here in Colorado. The politicians and bureaucrats were putting together, you know, this economic development package, and she and I agree on that, but for different reasons. And what's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, Ocasio-Cortez, I think, is right on that, government shouldn't dispense favors. But then she turns right around and wants government to give favors to all kinds of industries and businesses that she likes. Her Green New Deal is just loaded with special favors and privileges for the industries that she thinks are environmentally advantageous for one reason or another. So even she has completely succumbed to the notion that politicians know best, and instead of giving subsidies to this group, let's give them to that group, instead of not giving any to any group.
And letting them organically compete in a free market. And we get best results when that happens, because people have to be creative, they have to be innovative, they have to live by their choices that they make, good or bad. And that is really what has created so much opportunity, so much wealth, this big, big middle class that we have, which is somewhat uniquely American, Larry Reed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of situation then gives everybody hope and confidence and opportunity. And the moment you start rigging the system by giving certain people who have political favors or connections, when you start to give certain industries those favors, well, then lots of other people become demoralized. They say, why should I risk my savings and create a business when I don't have political connections and somebody's just going to come along and take business away from me with my own tax dollars? So if you want a healthy economy, provide a fair field and no favors and let people go at it, and that's exactly what they will do.
Well, and to your point, what you just made is people say, why should I risk? Why should I work hard? Why should I work that extra hour? If, in fact, it doesn't matter if government, if politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are going to use policy, excessive and unpredictable taxation to take, you know, the fruits of my hard labor. I think most people agree that there's some taxes that are necessary to pay, you know, for some of the basic things, but it's gotten way out of hand, Larry Reed. And so what happens then when productivity goes down, creativity goes down, tax revenues go down, there's less of everything under that system, and that's what you get with socialism.
Yeah, absolutely. Socialism has no theory of wealth creation. It is a scheme or different schemes to simply grab wealth that somebody else has created and then redistribute it. Those of us who believe in capitalism, we talk a lot about wealth creation. And when we do, we use such terms as investment, entrepreneurship, risk-taking, the price system, the profit motive, and so forth. We put a lot of thought in this. But you ask a socialist, where do you think wealth comes from? And typically it's, you know, they can't get past exploitation. And otherwise they think wealth is just there for the taking, and that they're better at redistributing it than consumers and creators of wealth.
Well, and I have talked to actually some family members, some people, you know, some other colleagues of mine, that socialist narrative is that the capitalist has actually created their wealth on the backs of the workers. What would you say to that, Larry Reed?
Oh, my gosh, that's the old Marxist exploitation idea. It is so superficial. It doesn't even attempt to take a look at how someone goes about creating a business and building it. And I'm convinced a lot of people that make that claim either don't know how to do it themselves or never bother to get to know people who know how to do it. It's so superficial just to claim that somebody who's set up a business, takes risks, innovates, comes up with a product, markets it well, is somehow exploiting people. You have to pay what it takes to get people to work for you. Otherwise, they'll go someplace else or start their own business. And, of course, a lot of people are going to say, well, I think I deserve more. Well, prove it and go out and get more, or start the business of your dreams yourself and pay yourself more. I mean, you know, under capitalism, there are lots of opportunities to prove yourself.
You know, that's so interesting you would say that. I was talking to a young mom who was, you know, looking, she was pregnant and was, you know, looking at trying to figure out to take some time off when the baby was born. It was a small company, and she said to me, I'm going to make sure that I am so valuable to the company that they are going to want to work with me. And that's exactly what happened regarding her maternity leave.
That's a great attitude, Kim. When I used to teach economics, I would tell my students, if you want your income to rise, one of the things you can do, one of the most important things, is to make yourself indispensable to your employer. In other words, don't be just a dime a dozen, and certainly don't be a burden to your employer. Don't be the kind of person that an employer says, oh my gosh, I hate to deal with that person because he or she's always trying to get something from me without providing anything in return. Instead, if you go into the employment relationship with the idea that I'm going to be so valuable to my employer that at whenever it's time to review my pay, I won't even have to say anything because they're going to say, oh, my gosh, we want to keep this person. Don't let that one go because they're easy to get along with. They're innovative. They're creative. They're just fine, the ways in which you can make yourself so valuable to your employer that they won't want to lose you. A direct result of that will be that your income will rise.
And you'll be able to create more wealth for yourself. So, hey, Larry, let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I wanted to give a shout-out to one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business, and it's a very impressive business. They have knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. And there's knives for collectors, for military, for the sportsmen, for kitchen knives. I've been getting wedding gifts, great knife sets for wedding gifts. So for more information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And we'll be right back with Larry Reed.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Thrilled to have on the line with me Lawrence Reed. He is the President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. They have really important pieces on their website. I would highly recommend that you check those out. Larry is also the Humphreys Family Senior Fellow, a Ron Manners Global Ambassador, and he's written over 2,000 articles and op-eds for a variety of different news sources. So, Larry Reed, it is so great to have you on the show.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Kim.
So we've been talking this week, Labor Day week, about the American idea and opportunity and hard work and capitalism. In the previous segment, we were talking about capitalism, and you mentioned the rule of law, that that is something that is inherent in capitalism and certainly property rights. But we hear the term rule of law a lot out there, but I see that there's politicians and bureaucrats that are making rules and regulations that are technically laws that really can't pass the mustard of the Constitution. And so when we talk about rule of law, I think we need to really understand what that means. What does it mean to you, Larry?
Well, certainly the more you move away from what the Constitution calls for, the more you become sort of arbitrary and without any firm anchor in predictable or stated rules, the more you abandon the rule of law, the more things look like a kind of dictatorship where, you know, you just sort of get whatever the people at the top tell you is the rule of the day. The rule of law should mean that law is predictable. You know it in advance. It's fair. It's impartial. It doesn't attempt to bias the marketplace by rigging it so that some get advantages and others don't. Some are treated differently by the law. It really means that you write things down in the form of a constitution so that everybody knows here are the rights that we're going to protect. Here are the areas where government is to be involved and where it is not to be involved. And you have to adhere to that or you abandon the rule of law and you, in effect, adopt the rule of men, where the arbitrary whims of those with political power are what rule the day instead of the laws that we've all had some say through the election of officials in creating.
Well, and what happens then, Larry, is we lose the middle class. You then have the elites, and then you have everybody else who is mutually equal in their misery. So the American idea in this big, big middle class, as you mentioned earlier, people that can be entrepreneurial and they can be innovative and create wealth for themselves, you know, it's so important that we protect that. But that seems like that's under assault right now in America, Larry.
Oh, it sure is. Under assault from many quarters. I mean, we just had a president a few years ago who essentially said to people who create wealth, you didn't create that. If you remember those words mm-hmm. of Barack Obama, how demoralizing to tell people who have risked everything in many cases and apply their ingenuity that they really didn't create what came as a result of their ingenuity. But it's also under assault by the permanent bureaucracy in Washington, which is so hard to control. It grows like Topsy. These are unelected people who issue orders that have the force of law, but they were never technically passed by an elected body like the Congress. And Congress sometimes even acts in an imperial way, as if it doesn't care whether what it does is grounded in the Constitution or not.
Okay, I'm thinking of all kinds of different things. Let's go back to when Barack Obama looked at middle-class America and said, you didn't build that. But yeah. I was having a conversation with someone, and they said, well, I think maybe even Obama said it, but government built that road that goes in front of your business, implying that government, because that road was there, is that was why you were successful. But then I was thinking about it, Larry, and I'm like, wait a minute, that road goes in front of everybody. And so why is it that one guy uses that road and he goes out and creates wealth, but the other guy had the same opportunity and he didn't? Maybe they need to pass a law to make sure that guy B goes out and is as productive as guy A. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that that notion that, well, the government did this for you, it sort of assumes that government is this independent entity that gets what it needs to create things from some tooth fairy. We ought to ask people who make this claim, well, where did the government get the money to build the road? It got it from the very people that you're now trying to denigrate. So in a sense, the government just took it, built a road with it, and said, we did that for you without acknowledging that you paid for it. But there are also things about government that we deal with all the time that mentality ignores. Sometimes government does bad things to you, and you have to overcome them. I mean, think of all the people in the inner city who create businesses and have to deal with lousy government schools or lousy crony arrangements that give their competitors special political advantages. So this idea that government is this independent, benevolent entity that always does good things and does it magically as if it doesn't even come from your pocketbook is ridiculous.
Well, and once again, talking about rule of law, you said that rule of law, and this needs to be inner city, wherever it is, that law is predictable, it's fair, it's impartial, and there's no bias. So when we talk about rule of law, that's really what we want to get to.
That's right. I fully admit that that is an ideal, and we often fall short of it, but it's an ideal worth every effort to accomplish. And when you see an occasion where it's been compromised in some way, well, we should blow the whistle on it. That's what free people are supposed to do. We're supposed to be vigilant. You can't just wind up government and walk away from it and expect it to continue to be your servant.
And a lot of people have done that. Larry, I've had people that have said, oh, I'm just not into politics. But I think everybody's realizing after this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption that politics is into you. And I'm encouraged because I think a lot of people are paying attention. They're seeing the destruction of what's happening to our cities. They're realizing that these cities have been under Democrat mayor control, city council control. And just a note, your mayor and your city councils are the ones that hire the police chief, and the police chief sets policy. And so when they try to say that it's the fault of police, of the different things that are happening, but yet the city has been controlled by Democrats, people need to connect that dot, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope they will do that. And the elections in November may tell us whether or not they have connected those dots. If they do, it won't be because of any help from the mainstream media. They don't want to hold accountable the people who they share political views with. So, that's one thing that makes it difficult. People may not make all these proper connections because the media that they're paying attention to is no help in that regard.
But I'm encouraged. I'm talking to more and more people that just recently somebody said that I only used to watch the mainstream media. And then I started to dig around a little bit more, like Foundation for Economic Education. That website would be a great place for people to go to start to get other information. And it was almost like the light bulb came on. And they said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I was being lied to. And so they're certainly, they've become a supporter of President Trump. I'm really encouraging people to vote Republican this election cycle and then stay engaged with these folks. I think there's a clear decision this November between divisiveness and destruction or the American idea that we're talking about of prosperity, of everyday people being able to thrive and prosper, Larry.
Yeah, I think you're right, and we'll see in a couple months, but I hear what you're hearing as well. More and more people seem to be waking up, and whether or not they'll show up at the polls and vote accordingly, we'll soon find out.
Well, and to that point, I have heard in these last election cycles that Christians and veterans many times have not voted. And there is a civic duty to make sure that you do that. One, on the one side of religious freedom, for Christians, and then veterans who have been willing to put their lives on the line for our country, you need to make sure that they vote so that they protect what they were willing to sacrifice.
Yeah, now on the other hand, I can understand sometimes when people say, I think the choices are so bad, I can't show up to vote for either one or any of those on the ballot. There are times when that happens, and if you think the best option is to not vote for any of the candidates because it would only encourage them in their bad habits, I can respect that. But when you've got an actual choice, get out there and cast your vote. It's what so many Americans gave their lives for in the past, and I think you're obligated to respect the liberties that so many people fought for and exercise them, especially when you have a good choice.
Well, and so it is a clear choice. And then people need to stay engaged. Another one of the shows that I've done, we've gone through the Federalist Papers, and then also we're looking at some of the founding documents, the important documents and speeches of America's founding. And my friend Ben Martin, who is a patriotic historian and former Army Ranger, said that people, when we were ratifying the Constitution, when we were fighting for independence, citizens were informed, and they would actually have the Constitution or the Federalist Papers or the Declaration, and they would sit down and they would talk about this in the bars and taverns and have conference. Of course, I guess that was before TV, Larry Reed.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking that very thing.
So we have just a couple of minutes left. What would you like to say to our listeners at the end of this this Labor Day week? What would you like to leave with them?
Well, I would like to say, Kim, that liberty is perhaps more important than most people realize. It is really the thing that makes life worth living. I mean, can you imagine living your life in a society where every move is watched, where government maintains the authority and the right as it sees it to tell you what to do at every turn? Can you imagine living in a place like that, like in North Korea or Cuba? I mean, it would be a nightmare. What makes life worth living is a situation or environment where you can be who you were intended to be, where you can make choices and they stick, where you're free to go about your business in peace so long as you leave others alone. And as a result, you get to create, you get to exchange with people, you get to interact voluntarily, and everybody's a winner. We take that for granted, and yet I dare say that a small single-digit percentage of all the people who have ever lived on this planet could say that they lived in a substantial measure of freedom. Most have been serfs or slaves or had to live in constant fear that the guy at the top would snuff them out. And we just take for granted the liberties that we have and the critical importance of fighting to preserve those we have and restore the ones we've lost.
Well, and Larry Reed, this election cycle, we have a clear choice on whether or not we continue with the American idea or not. And so, Larry Reed, thank you so much. People can find more out about you at Lawrence Reed, that's reed.com, and would highly recommend that folks also check out the Foundation for Economic Education. So, Larry Reed, thanks so much. You have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Adam Smith. He said, "It is not from the benevolence of the butcher, the brewer, or the baker that we expect our dinner, but from their regard to their own interest." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I-